Hello and welcome back to the Security Hazard Podcast. This is episode 2. I'm joined by Andrew once again.
Hello everyone, it's nice to be back. Feels like we were only doing this yesterday.
Well, almost. And of course, you know me, this is Jack, for goodness sake. So, great to have you back. If you're, you know, returning to us from the previous podcast, we had a lot of fun doing that, I think. So, if you're enjoying the podcast, you know, subscribe on YouTube to you know, see these as soon as they go up, or you can, I believe you can subscribe on SoundCloud and you can download the podcast from there to listen to at your convenience. So let us know actually where you listen to this, if you're listening at all. That would be great. Just let us know.
please listen to us.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to pay attention to us. You just have to listen. That's the
yeah. Worst. If you want to paint your house or something, and just want something akin to white noise in the background, you can stick this on in the background.
Yeah, I've often been told I am akin to white noise. So let's take a look at some of the Gerry Anderson news that's been coming out lately. Possibly the most significant piece of news, or one of the most significant pieces of news, is that the Century 21 studios on Stirling Road are sadly no longer with us. They have been knocked down.
Yes, this is indeed a very, very sad piece of news. I know that a lot of people on social media have been particularly devastated by this. People who are saying that it should have been saved as a heritage site or a listed building or just a monument to the work of all the crews of the 60s, which would have been a lovely idea, but I know that the buildings themselves weren't in fantastic condition
code. Let's be honest, yes, they weren't exactly the most attractive buildings in the world, but yeah, it's nevertheless, they were, you know, historical sites, and it was wonderful that the Thunderbirds 1965 project were able to kind of, you know, they weren't in exactly the same buildings, but they were in a building nearby, which unfortunately is also gone as well. But it's great that they were kind of able to bring back those buildings to their former purpose, at least for a little while. So it's very sad. Myself and Andrew, we visited Stirling Road. We've gone twice now, I believe.
Twice, yeah.
Yeah, so the first time we went was 2011. We went on a little kind of location tour, and that was one of the places we stopped off. And of course, we're with our good chum, Mr. Chris Thompson. And Mike Jones was there, and Derek Eaton as well. And we had a jolly fun time. Actually, we thought maybe, just maybe, above the door of the studio, there would be the remnants of the Century 21 sign that was used to be above the door, obviously wasn't there anymore. We thought, maybe if we just take a look up there, we can find something left over. So it involved, well, Andrew.
Well, let's see, what did it involve? Well, there were five of us. So Chris jumped onto Mike's shoulders, which brought him up to about three quarters of the height that he needed to be to see over the top of the bit above the door. And then he stuck his camera on a tripod and held that above his head. So the rest of us just sort of stood looking awkwardly around. I think it was it a Sunday?
It was Saturday? A Sunday, so the Sale Trading Estate was pretty dead, but
it couldn't have been a Sunday because it was
pretty... Oh, it might have been Saturday.
Must have been Saturday, yeah. But it was still pretty dead anyway, and we just figured, if anybody looks out of any of these offices, if they happen to be there, you know, early on a Saturday, they'll wonder, why are five guys acting very suspiciously outside this Sly Trading Estate building?
Yep.
But
security footage, of course, they would have caught that as well, because we were right outside the front door.
We were, yes.
Just kind of gallivanting around, trying to look on the roof, basically. And
sadly, we didn't find anything in the end, so all the effort was very much for nothing. But we had a darn good try, and we'd found anything, we would have reported it and of course shared it with all you wonderful people.
Yes, but unfortunately, it wasn't to be. And we went back again in 2014, just after the first Andacon convention, and we went and we didn't take another look on the roof, but it was good to kind of be there, you know, for one last time. You know, all of the lads together. It was great, good, very, very good fun.
Yeah, I think even at that stage, it had been announced that they were planning to knock the buildings down.
It was definitely kind of around that time. I don't know whether it had been announced just yet, but yeah. I think it was sort of on the horizon, possibly. Yeah, it's actually, been in the works for kind of quite a while that they've been talking about this happening, and of course there were campaigns launched to try and save the buildings, but it was not to be, and it's just kind of good that that so many people actually got to visit. You know, again, the Thunderbirds 1965 project, there were so many studio tours that were offered, you know, to the general public, that it was great that so many people got to go and visit that area before it was gone. So, yeah, very sad news, but, you know, with new projects and new productions coming along, you know, I'm sure that this is not the end, if that makes sense.
And of course, to quote the great Jeff Tracy himself, if a building falls down, it can be built straight back up again. With life, it's different.
That's true. I'm very, very interested, actually, to see what goes up on that new site. If there was just some sort of little reference or you know, homage to what was used to be there, that would be a nice touch, but I don't know.
Quick, start a campaign for it. Let's see if we can get a tiny little figure of Parker stuck somewhere inside the building.
That would be lovely. But of course, there's still sort of quite nearby there on the, I believe it's on the Bath Road, you have the studio that was used for Four Feather Falls Supercar and Fireball XL5. That is relatively nearby, and that's still there. So if you want to kind of get your fix for seeing what Gerry Anderson's studio used to look like, you can still go and visit that building.
Yeah, it's a tire sales depot at the moment, and it is the one that appears in the Filmed in Super Mario Nation documentary.
Yeah,
where they put the replica of the puppet bridge in there. So
yeah,
you know, I'm sure they wouldn't mind if you phoned in advance and wanted to go and have a quick look.
A quick look round. Yeah. So, moving on, some other news, very exciting news indeed, at least for me, and I'm sure for Andrew as well. New Captain Scarlet is getting a Blu-ray release.
Woohoo!
That is fantastic news. Of course, yeah, New Captain Scarlet was produced in HD, in high definition. It was always intended to kind of be seen that way. And finally, you know, over 12 years later, that's now happening. It's been in the works, I believe, for quite a long time, but now it is kind of going to finally happen. Very excited about this.
Yeah, it's tremendously exciting. It's sort of unbelievable that it's taken this long, but of course these things, there's so much going on in the background that, you know, issues with different things that have to be taken into account. New Scarlet for me, and we will talk about this as we go on, but New Scarlet for me, it's probably the most excited I've ever been about a Gerry Anderson series at the time that it came out, because obviously there was such a big gap between it and the last Gerry Anderson series that I would have been sort of quite into. Because at the time I hadn't seen Lavender Castle, I hadn't seen very much of Space Precinct. So suddenly to have like a remake of Captain Scarlet coming out is like, whoa, this is unbelievable. And I still remember watching the first episode, having to tune in to Ministry of Mayhem on a early Saturday morning.
you knew the series was coming out though. Like, you knew that this project was kind of going ahead, and you kind of had an idea about it.
I can't remember how I found out about it. I think it must have been something that I read on the web back in the dark days of the internet.
It's interesting, because I can tell you exactly how I came to find out about this. It was, truly bizarre. You know, I would have been, I guess, what was it, 2005? So I would have been about 9-10 years old at the time. And I remember very distinctively watching children's ITV, and they had a little kind of 10-second promo clip come up where it was just Mr. On Rings moving across the CITV logo, and I thought, that's a bit odd, what on earth is that? And it was after that I discovered oh, there's a whole new Captain Scarlet thing coming out on Ministry of Mayhem in, I think it was about a week's time. Oh my goodness, how was this the only kind of piece of promotion or advertising that I'd seen for it? Just a 10-second promo, and then the rest of it was me just having to puzzle, you know, put the pieces of the puzzle together to work out what was happening. But yeah, I mean, I remember watching the first episode very vividly. It was incredibly exciting. It looked fantastic. You know, I was obviously, you know, kind of right in the target age group at the time, and it really was just absolutely blew me away. You know, of course, I was very surprised at some of the changes that were made. Probably the most prominent thing that stood out to me at the time was Lieutenant Green. It, you know, changed into a woman. Obviously, you know, now doesn't make any difference, and of course is still an excellent character either way. But yeah, at that time that change stood out to me quite a lot, but obviously now it makes quite a lot of sense that you do that. Can you think of any changes that kind of stood out to you at the time that just you were like, wow, why on earth was this done, you know?
Well, I think I spent quite a bit of time on the old New Captain Scarlet website that was kicking around at the time. They did have an official series website that didn't seem to get updated very frequently, and I was constantly going on there to try and see the new vehicle designs and find out more about the characters and, you know, just finding out, oh, maybe this is coming up in this episode or maybe it's coming up in this episode. And I think Fanderson had an episode guide sort of in the early stages of production.
Right.
And we were sort of looking at that. But because there's a slight age gap between us, can I check with you, would you have been in the Ministry of Mayhem target audience? Because for me, it would have been...
I had watched Ministry of Mayhem before New Captain Scarlet was around, so I was, you know, aware of it. I would watch it sort of, maybe not every Saturday, but certainly if I was channel hopping on a Saturday morning, I would come across it and sit and look at it and a few cartoons for a little while, maybe. But basically, yeah. So when I kind of found out it was on Ministry of Mayhem, I wasn't perhaps disappointed. I think perhaps what annoyed me more about it was the fact that it was not on at the same time.
They did move it about in the schedule quite a bit, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, they tried to roughly keep it within the same sort of, I don't know, maybe within about 30 minutes, maybe, but it would shift around in that kind of slot as to when it would start. And, you know, the episodes were divided up in two very suddenly. It would kind of, part one would end, and, you know, a few minutes later, they come back with part two, just out of nowhere. And, you know, that's the way Saturday morning cartoons were treated. And it perhaps didn't seem too unusual, but there was something about New Captain Scarlet where it didn't quite feel like it fitted that format.
Yeah, it was very much designed to be seen as a full 25-minute episode in one go with no advert breaks. That's how it was designed. Ideally, it should have gone out. For those who don't know, for those who maybe missed the new Scarlet series when it first came out, and I know there, even to this day, some people don't even know there was a new Captain Scarlet series. Yeah. You'll see it, especially when people say, oh, they should remake Scarlet, and people will say, oh, that was done. That was done sort of 10, 12 years ago,
yep.
And they're really surprised to hear that. But for those who may have missed it the first time, when the first season, first 13 episodes were shown on the Ministry of Mayhem, as we've said, they would move around. They weren't listed separately in the TV guide, so it was just part of Ministry of Mayhem. So you had to know what you were going to watch this program
and
on.
And Ministry of Mayhem, I should just say, is just a kind of 3-hour Saturday morning children's show where the presenters throw guns around and they have silly competitions and games and things like that. Just to provide the context there.
Thank you very much. I was just skipping ahead with that, but yes, very much so. So a modern day Tiz was only.
And actually, interestingly, side note, I did actually visit the Ministry of Mayhem studios, it was actually filmed in my hometown.
And did you see anyone there who you might have recognized?
The set was completely empty. Although actually, I mean, it was a separate kind of project that I was a part of just as a young kid sort of standing in the background, but Stephen Mulhern, who was the host of Ministry of Mayhem, I kind of spent an afternoon with him, just standing in the background as a kid on one of his other shows. But yeah, anyway, there's a tiny little connection that I have to the Ministry of Mayhem.
One of your many claim to fames.
Yes.
The episodes themselves were stuck right in the middle of this, and they had an advert break in the middle. The advert breaks, because there was no real... Well, there was no actual scheduled advert break in the middle of the series, so they would quite often end abruptly in the middle with a title or a sort of mid-credit title hastily slapped onto them. But my recollection is when they came back again, there was often like a 5-minute section of something else happening in the program, like a Gunge contest or celebrity quizzes or something like that, and then they would just randomly segue into part two.
Yeah, and so you would think, is part two actually going to come back? Is that going to happen? But yeah, so you'd just be sat there, you know, waiting for it to come back, and Andrew and I have realised that we were both poised with our VCR, you know, VHS recorders. We haven't quite moved into the realms of recording on hard drives and DVDs and whatnot. So we both had VHS recorders that were poised, ready to record the episode so that we could go back and watch them later. I believe, Andrew, you actually said that you found your VHS recently that you'd recorded those episodes onto.
Yes, I did. I found it with the express intent of matching it up against the DVD, because I believe in the first episode there is a couple of sequences that have been trimmed down very slightly just because they were deemed slightly too violent for the time slot. Just one of the many problems of putting it on in an early morning time slot like that. But in the first episode, there's a fight between Captain Scarlet and Captain Blue in the Angel aircraft hangar, and apparently there's part of the sequence that was cut. I don't know whether it's somebody getting kicked in the face or something like that. But I tried to find this on the tape, and I apparently taped over it. So I must have had it on DVD by that stage and just reused the tape again.
Yeah. And that is a merciful... It's kind of a miracle, really, it seems to me, that the series actually did come out on DVD.
Yeah,
honestly, at the time, after it had been on, I was like, we may never see this again. It honestly felt like that, because it was just so undervalued and not, you know, talked about at all. It really was. It felt like a miracle that it came out on DVD, quite honestly.
And even by the time they got into the second half of the season, because I think that it maybe took like a six months break or something like that.
They did, and they didn't tell anyone that it was coming back. I missed probably the first half of that second kind of batch of episodes because there was no promotion whatsoever that new Captain Scarlet was coming back. So I missed so many episodes because of that. I just, again, randomly flicked onto Ministry of Mayhem one day, and there was an episode that I'd never seen before.
And they even cut off the titles and credits in that second season. They didn't even bother airing them. They just went straight into the episode, cut off straight at the end of the episode. So by the end of it, they were treating it horrendously.
Yeah.
And I have spoken, or I had spoken to Jerry about this. I was fortunate enough to meet Jerry at a convention back in 2010, which was the same convention that, as we've previously heard, that
That's Jack where we all met. Actually, yeah, that's where the both of us
we all met. So where the legend began.
Yeah.
I got a chance to speak to Jerry, just chatted to him for about 5 minutes. I think at that stage he had maybe been ill for a while and wasn't up to meeting everyone at the convention, so a select few were chosen at random just in a charity raffle, and I was one of the people who happened to win that. And I stood outside the room thinking, oh, this is wonderful, you know, this is great, get to meet Jerry Anderson, you know, can't be bad to that, hooray. And then blind panic set in, and I thought, oh my goodness, it's Jerry Anderson. What the heck am I supposed to say to him? He's like the guy that made all these programs that I loved as a kid growing up. So I thought, right, I gotta say something to do with New Scarlet, because I think he'd just been on stage talking briefly about New Scarlet and other things. And I went in. It was just Jerry in a little room by himself. I went over, said, good morning, Mr. Anderson. It's very nice to meet you. And I just want to say for all the new Scarlet fans out there that the program's just superb, and there are so many people that really, really love that program, and you should be massively proud of it and all the work that went into it, because it's fantastic. And he just gave the biggest smile and sat back and said, yes, it was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yes, and yes, it was. So,
hooray, so got a word in for the fans.
So let's talk about, the strengths of the series, because there is a lot to it that works incredibly well, and some would argue, and I think we would argue, it perhaps has certain strengths over the original series, such as the kind of complexity of the stories. I think, would you agree that there's just a little bit more to it, and the character development is, I think, hugely improved over the original series.
I would. I definitely agree with that. 100%. The character development, it wasn't really needed in the original series so much.
No, that's true, because each kind of episode of Captain Scarlet originally was sort of, its own self-contained piece. Whereas the new Captain Scarlet series, the characters developed over the course of the series. And it meant that you just learnt more about them and they changed and, were very engaging to watch. So that is definitely, I would say, one of the strengths of New Captain Scarlet. I'm not saying it's anything that the original series necessarily needed, but it's definitely something that, for me, makes New Captain Scarlet very enjoyable to watch.
And, of course, I should probably point out as well that that's not to say that there was no character in the original series, because of course there was.
Yeah, of course there was.
Plenty of character. I mean, some of our favourite moments from Scarlet are character moments. They're just driven by these wonderful bits of dialogue and wonderful glimpses into the character. But as far as New Scarlet goes, I think, especially on an emotional level, it was brought a lot more to the forefront. I mean, implied relationships between characters, loyalties, distrusts, various things like that. And of course, another huge advantage that New Scarlet has is because it's CGI.
They could do anything.
They can do anything. They can move around. They can jump around like real people and not have the limitations that the puppets had.
I mean, some of the fight sequences and the action that's in there is just, I mean, it was so good. And actually, I do remember watching it at the first episode as a kid thinking, wow, this has got a lot more energy to it than the original series has.
Instead of being stuck with maybe one camera setup and having to put people on a conveyor belt just to get them across the set, you can have spontaneous fights breaking out. You can have people being kicked through windows and things and all sorts of different things going on. And a wider range of activities as well, like parachute sequences and underwater swimming sequences.
That stunning parachute sequence, again, from the first... Is that from the first episode?
There is one in the first episode, and then there are a few more as well.
Yeah, that absolutely blew me away as a kid. I do remember watching that distinctively. That really was just so good. So well done.
And just even simple things like Spectrum mounting a raid on a building, people crouching down, covering other people, and, just acting the way
it
that you would act
so
in
much
that situation.
More real.
Yeah.
It felt like a version of the future that you could realistically envision happening. I think at least the use of technology, the vehicle designs, it all just felt a little bit more grounded in realism, which was something that the original series was trying to do as well. They were trying to depart from Thunderbirds, the slightly more caricatured Thunderbirds style of the vehicle designs and the character designs and things like that. The original series was trying to make itself feel more realistic, and it did achieve that to a certain extent. But, New Captain Scarlet does exactly the same thing of, again, trying to go, let's make this feel even more real and make it feel like it could almost take place in the real world. In a few years from now, anyway.
Well, as the opening narration says, Dateline, the day after tomorrow.
Exactly. It's supposed to be, not far from now, this could happen. And even though the show is now, 12 years old, it still kind of doesn't feel, at least in terms of the story and the ideas that are discussed and put forward, it doesn't feel at all dated at all. At all.
No, it's perfectly watchable and, you know, still as exciting as it was when it first came out. Just mentioning vehicle designs.
Yeah.
I will always have a soft spot for the Spectrum Pursuit vehicle. In terms of vehicle designs, it's one of my
the original
favorites.
Spectrum.
The original Spectrum Pursuit yeah. vehicle from the original series.
Yeah.
And while I like the design of the Rhino, it certainly has a lot of limitations. It has the advantage of forward-facing seats, so you know, yes. you're not going to lose your lunch after driving in it for a certain amount of time. But it is ground clearance issues. It feels like it's a train, a road train.
Yes. I think to be fair, I think that is possibly one of the biggest criticisms that's weighed against New Captain Scarlet. It's just the vehicle designs, because they are more grounded in realism, they're perhaps not as fun. I suppose. Would you say that? Possibly?
Sort of. I mean, the Stellion raid bike is pretty cool. I mean, who yeah. wouldn't want a raid bike that you could jump off Skybase and fly down 60,000 yeah. feet? or a car that can fly, or Falcon
Interceptors.
I know
I keep talking about this, but yeah, the first time I saw the Cheetah fly was just, again, it was just like, what? This is amazing!
And, of course, they played on that several times throughout the series. You yeah. know, they'd get into a situation where they'd have to use that, get out of a tricky spot, and you kind of just came to accept it. And the other vehicle designs are brilliant. I mean, Dominic did a fantastic
yeah,
job
Dominic
of designing
Avery.
Those. Yeah, I mean, his
who
work
also
speaks for itself.
Who also contributed design work to the 2004 Thunderbirds movie as well.
Yes, and I seem to recall that Dominic once told a story at a convention where Jerry called him into the office and, you know, asked him about the possibility of designing some vehicles for Scarlet, and then followed up by saying something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I know you worked on that other movie, but we'll just not talk about that.
But in all seriousness, though, I think the vehicle designs on both projects hold up well.
Oh, very good. Lots of thought put into them, making them, you know, as absolutely believable as you could possibly
yeah.
want.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think, yeah, they work very, very well indeed.
And another aspect of New Scarlet that is almost shown to a greater extent is the brutality.
That is true. And obviously, you know, it kind of leads to the stupidity of it being scheduled on a Saturday morning, you know, kids.
Yes,
slot.
It does.
But yes, the violence, I mean, you know, the original Captain Scarlet series has its, you know, kind of grisly,
brutal moments. Oh, it has its
brutal
very
moments.
Grisly moments.
You know, I think the guy in Noose of Ice getting electrocuted and frying, you know, just sitting there getting electrocuted was just, yeah, very brutal. But
or the
you know,
the one in Manhunt where the guy gets crushed against the roof of the garage
yeah.
when he's trapped inside the car. I mean, it was pretty horrendous stuff.
There's some nasty stuff in there, you know, New Captain Scarlet does have that too, because it
yeah,
is
I mean,
an important part of kind of the series, is that it's supposed to be scary and, you know, a bit gruesome.
What would be your top three death scenes in
three.
New Scarlet?
Do you know, it's been a little while since I've watched it, but the one that stands out to me, and again, I'm going to say it stood out to me very strongly as a kid, was Touch of the Reaper. Where basically
yes.
anyone who gets, you know, touched by these, you know, Mysterons who have chemical diseases, their skin turns, you know, into this horrible cracked pink texture. Their eyes just go, oh, God, it is gruesome. But that's the way it should be. Frankly, if you're going to show someone, if you're going to show someone dying, then put it to dramatic effect. Absolutely, yeah.
And in the first episode, the pilot episode, at the very end of it, of course, we see a guy get put into a car crusher, stuck inside
yeah,
his car.
Of course,
this
is a shortcut. I'm cutting short your life.
And then he does.
Yeah, he certainly does.
It must have been a crushing blow for him.
Yes.
But I think
that's
the most
actually talking about that scene. It was kind of nice to see straight away Captain Black as a character being a slightly more, I'm going to say a slightly more traditional villain of just walking around, you know, causing trouble and coming up with all these funny quips. And yeah, kind of, he was ultimately a much more human character, even though he was, you know, a Mistron agent. He was a much more human character in the new series, and that made him just seem, I don't know, a little bit more menacing. So perhaps not quite so mysterious as the original, but, you know, just a little bit more threatening, maybe.
Yeah, I buy into that, especially given the fact that in New Scarlet, both Captain Black and Scarlet were previously best friends.
Yeah.
And they still sort of have that almost frenemy dynamic going on there.
Yeah, yeah. So there's just so much more, yeah, depth to the characters and things like that going on. So, yeah, that basically, if you've never seen New Captain Scarlet and you've thought, oh, I'm not quite sure about that, whether I should give it a go, you know, we hope that we have encouraged you to kind of give it a try. Pick it up on Blu-ray when it comes out. Definitely, and it, you know, it's going to look, I'm sure, it is going to look superb in high definition.
Yes, it might even look SIG.
There we go. So, that's actually going to be it for today's podcast. Thank you very much for listening.
Bye for now, folks.
Bye-bye.